The views expressed are not necessarily those of 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, recruiting tips, advice, and better ways to train. B3 Better presents The Amateur's Edge with Jerry and Sanders, Randy Wade, and A.D. Robbins.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Amateur's Edge. This is your host, Jerry and Sanders, and to my right,
Randy Wade.
Just the two of us today.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. We're going to have to carry the show.
We're breaking down like the NCAA bracket right now, man.
That's what it looks like. A lot of upsets going on.
Some Jordan and some Pippen right now.
Yeah,
that's
people
what's
just
going
missing,
on.
Man.
So who's Jordan and who's Pippen?
Oh, I'm definitely Jordan, bro. I'm Jordan, and you
he
the water
boy.
He
put me on the spot.
Jordan, you the water boy.
Good deal,
man.
Good deal. Well, welcome, audience. Welcome again to the Amateur's Edge. Today's going to be a great show. We're bringing on a young lady named Lene Harper, gold medalist in 3-on-3 basketball, has a very decorated career, and has a great story to tell us. She started the Lene Harper, the Harper Kid Foundation, and is doing a lot of great things in her community, as well as, you know, other communities. So she's going to be on the show today to tell a little bit about herself and her story.
Yeah, that's going to be great, man. And call in today. You know what I'm saying? Call in. We're a little short-handed with Cleo being gone and Satara being gone. But definitely call in at 904-641-1010.
Yes, sir. So how about that NCAA tournament, man? Tons of upsets to start it off.
It's just magical, man. To me, if you know about basketball, like from youth league to now, to me the NCAA tournament is like an AAU game.
Why you say that?
Because it's people from all over the country, and it's just different matchups. Mm-hmm. And just different matchups just hurt people. Like the way, you know, I've seen a lot of teams playing 1-3-1. And it was just killing some teams. It's amazing how changing defenses just kill some teams because they might not just be used to that. Right. And so in AAU, like, you got teams from Indiana, from Georgia, Florida, California, and they all play different, man. They all play different. The styles are totally, totally different from where you're from. It's crazy how, like, up north they play way different than we do down south. And I think it's like that. And you can just see it on the next level.
Right, right. I mean, you look at teams like Yale beating Harvard, mm-hmm. Duquesne beating Illinois, mm-hmm. Grand Canyon upsetting St. Mary's. I mean, it's just across the board. But, you know, my underdog, who I really like, is NC State.
Yeah.
I'm a North Carolina fan, but it was funny. I was kind of rooting for NC State during the ACC tournament because I like that big man, the left-handed kid. I can't remember his name, but I like him. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Zach Randolph.
Old school style. I don't. My thing about NC State is, like, I don't know why they was ranked so low, because they did really, really good in the ACC tournament. Yeah.
It was their record, though. They didn't have a good record. Like, actually, if they had not have won the ACC tournament, they wouldn't have got in.
Oh, man. Yeah, but they was a really, really good team, man. Yale, man. Yeah. Ivy League.
But you always see that, though. You always see those Ivy League schools step up and upset somebody here and there. That's not anything new at all. But I'm going to tell you, the biggest upset was Oakland beating Kentucky.
Man, that's crazy. I didn't even know they had a college called Oakland.
and so what people are talking about more is Coach Calipari's post-game interview, and he spoke more to the fact that, you know, he recruits these highly talented players mm-hmm. that only stay for 1 year and are gone. And he's starting to second guess that tactic to figure out how does he get Kentucky back on top. Because you got to think about it, they hadn't won a national championship since AD was there. AD was the only one he's actually won with. That was like 2011, 2012. Right. So in all these first round picks, you name it, John Wall, Booker, SGA. I mean, the list goes on and on. So that question becomes, do you start to build a program through the transfer portal, or do you start recruiting? Maybe not these five-star athletes. Maybe you sprinkle a five-star here and there, but you start looking at these 3- and 4-star kids that are going to stay a couple of years. Because I think when you look at a team like Oakland, they were a more experienced team. So now that kid who hit
all those threes,
that man like 24 years old. So you look at a team full of 24, 25-year-olds versus a team of 17 and 18-year-olds. You know how it is playing pickup basketball. You put the old man team together versus the young bucks. And we going to pass, cut, shoot high-percentage shots while they still out there playing hot shot basketball.
But my question is, why, like, I want somebody to call in and answer this question for me. why would a player from Kentucky get drafted like this season? Because like I think like players are like more watered down now, meaning so like they have all the fundamentals and talent in the world, but they just don't know the game of basketball. And so why if you lose to a team like Oakland, not saying Oakland was sorry, Oakland had a great game, but if you lose to a team like Oakland and you're NIL, top NIL player, top player, and you can't beat a team like Oakland, I feel like what's going to happen on the next level?
I mean, but you got to look at the history again of Kentucky players in the NBA who are successful. Devin Booker, Shai, AD.
Mm-hmm.
All these guys, they may not have played well as a team under Cal at Kentucky, but when these guys get to the NBA, they perform. Right,
okay.
So it's a
okay,
team
but
game.
But all those guys, well, with two of the guys you just named, Devin Booker and AD, they have mental lapses in their game that stops them from winning championships or being the best they can be. Do you see that sometimes?
I'm not gonna argue that. I think AD's soft as tissue.
But two things about AD is to me is he plays like he haven't been a big man his whole life. And he haven't.
He hasn't.
So he hasn't been a big man his whole life. So he play real, real soft. Like he don't get up for the ball. Like he don't use his body enough. Like, and that's because I believe he wasn't a big man his whole life. And like I said, people use you for your talents at the lower levels, but those weaknesses you have, they get exposed.
Right.
They get exposed on the next level.
Right.
And so I think sometimes if kids would just stay in college a little longer and learn the game.
I agree.
I know they're going for their bag, but you're going to make it to the – some of these players going to make it to the NBA regardless.
That's true.
Regardless. But just learn the game. I don't know, man. I don't know. And I think Calipari is saying that he want to take a look at how he's recruiting. I think that's a cop-out. I think
right. You
have to get that team, get them together, and know that – hey, I have the best players in the country, but I have to make them a team.
Right.
I know that's hard to do, but you got to do it.
Right. No, I agree. I think he does need to coach them up, you know, more. But I also do like – I love the fact that these teams are put together with older players who did learn
mm-hmm.
the game, who did stay and develop and work better as a cohesive unit.
Yeah.
To win championships. I love that.
That's why it's like almost the NBA and college basketball are like different sports almost. It's almost like different sports because there's certain things you can do in college, and the fact that you got kids that are 25, 26, 24 versus some kids that's 18 and 19, it just makes it different.
Right. And the NBA is more of an individual game, for sure.
An individual sport. It's not necessarily about winning, man.
No, it's not.
It's not about winning, but when you have something like the NCAA tournament where it's one game means everything, it's exciting to see, man. And these guys go out there and really, really go get it. They really, really go after it.
They really do. They really do. So, but you know, again, this is always a wonderful time of the year, man, because you know those upsets are coming, and you see those Cinderella teams emerge, and you see those Cinderella players like a Steph Curry emerge out of nowhere who you didn't know anything about.
You didn't know nothing about.
And then they just come out of nowhere. So it's an exciting time of the year for me, man.
Not even to speak of the girls' side. The girls' side, I've been watching more of the girls' games than I have the boys' game, man.
And so it's funny, before we go to break, the question was brought up. If Caitlin Clark wills Iowa to a championship, will she be the GOAT of women's college basketball?
I have to do more research to say that, but for me, yes. But I have to do more research because I don't know all the best players.
Right. I mean, I have a little history in women's basketball, and I will tell you, all those Connecticut teams they were stacked. All those Tennessee teams, they were stacked. So they had tons of women who went on and played and had, you know, successful professional careers versus Caitlin. You don't really know who her other teammates are, so.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Caitlin. And trust me, I just bought a jersey. I see in her bracket, I just don't think she can get to South Carolina.
We'll see.
I don't think she can get there. We'll see, though.
We'll see. Well, time to pay some bills. This segment was brought to you by Premier Physical Therapy. Your wellness journey begins at Premier Physical Therapy and Rehabilitation, the gold standard in orthopedic and sports rehab for adults and adolescents alike. Dial 904-996-6922 or visit premierptjacks.com today for the Premier experience. You're listening to the Amateur's Edge on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Bueller Air Conditioning presents...
Are You Cool?
Today's lucky contestant, a cheese negotiator from Jacksonville, Florida, meet Margaret Drent.
How do you like my costume, Bob? I'm Gruyere.
Well, you smell great, Margaret. But here's your question. What's wrong with your air conditioner when you hear this sound?
Oh, that's a toughie. Are you sure you don't want me to tell you the suggested retail price of a box of Rice-A-Roni?
5 seconds, Margaret.
Is it a compressor motor starter failure?
That's right, Margaret. And if you call the coolness experts at Bueller Air Conditioning, we can fix that faulty AC to make sure that
you are cool.
Surprisingly stuffy inside a giant cheese.
You signed the waiver, Margaret.
Stay cooler with Bueller.
Visit BuellerAir.com.
Your wellness journey begins at Premier Physical Therapy and Rehabilitation, the gold standard in orthopedic and sports rehab for adults and adolescents alike. Dial 904-996-6922 or visit PremierPTJax.com today. Experience the Premier difference and take your first step towards a healthier, stronger you. Premier Physical Therapy, where Jacksonville comes to heal. PremierPTJax.com.
Hello, First Coast. I'm sure by now you have seen our bright green GFL trucks and containers throughout the greater Jacksonville area. We're an industry leader in solid waste and would love the opportunity to earn your business. We're committed to customer service, reliability, and have an unwavering focus on safety. Whether commercial or construction, let us haul your waste away. Call 904-760-5880 to get a quote today from GFL, Green for Life.
They know their sports.
So let's go out there and play our best.
And so do you.
Most of all, let's have fun.
Lauren, Taylor, and Mia.
Helmets and Heels.
Brightened by First Coast Lighting and Fans.
And presented by Underwood Jewelers.
Tuesday nights at 6 on 1010XL.
I'm Justin Norndorf, creator of DBS, a medically backed pitching development program designed to develop young throwers' arms safely. We are excited to be launching our Florida Development Center at B3 Better in Jacksonville. To celebrate DVS, we are offering a free virtual coaches clinic and also giving away 20 free team DVS and athletic assessments at B3 Better. To register for the clinic and your team's chance to win, go to b3better.com/DVS and secure your spot today.
1010XL is presented by Farrah & Farrah, exclusive injury law firm of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Protecting you and your family. Call 396-5555. Jacksonville. It's the Amateur's Edge, brought to you by B3 Better on 1010XL.
And we're back. Welcome to the Amateur's Edge. This is your host, Jerrion Sanders.
Yes, Randy Wade.
I feel a freestyle coming, Randy.
No, I freestyled last week. You want to hear, bro? I freestyled last week. It's good. I take a week's break on it.
So you don't perform well under pressure?
No, I can. I definitely can. You know I can.
Okay, cool. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Jerry, and again, from the Amateur's Edge. We have a very special guest on the line, Lene Harper. Lene has a very decorated basketball career. She was a McDonald's All-American in high school, won state championships, started her career at the University of Kentucky, and then transferred to Ohio State, went on to play in the WNBA for the Chicago Sky, Minnesota Lynx, and Washington Mystics, and has recently won a gold medal in the women's 3-on-3 basketball circuit. Lene, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for coming on the show. Just wanted to talk to you a little bit about your career. Like, you have a very decorated career, and we always talk about, you know, the things that inspire young women to get involved in sports. And so what was your inspiration at a young age to get you started with playing basketball?
Honestly, I always tell people I think it was just a gift from God. Nobody in my family really played the sport. I was never really introduced to it. It was just more so, it was a park not too far from my house. I would always watch boys playing basketball, and it was something I was so intrigued by.
Gotcha. And you grew up in Chicago, correct?
Yep, I grew up in Chicago, right on the south side, and been here my whole life.
That's huge. So it's a lot of great basketball being played there. Did you play against any of the greats growing up? Any of the guys in the league now? Did you see any of those guys?
Yeah, so Jabari Parker was my teammate.
Okay.
In elementary school, we was a dynamic duo. I've also played against like the Kendrick Nines, Taylor, Horton Tucker was not too far from me. So I got a chance to play against some of, you know, some really good players.
Right, right. And for you to be able to play to such a high level, the development side had to be huge. Did you have a coach that really drove you, an uncle, or how'd you get to the level that you got to?
Yeah, so I had thankfully I had a good village where I had a couple of different coaches, coaches from me playing small fry all the way up into high school and college. So thankfully I've had a collection of amazing individuals and coaches who have helped me get to where I am today.
So Lene, Chicago is a mecca of basketball and just playing outside on the courts and stuff like that. Did you play outside, like, with the fellas, or, like, were you like – because, you know, nowadays everybody's like a gym person. Like, you can't play basketball unless you're in an air-conditioned gym. Was you an outside hooper?
I started playing ball outside. It was an outdoor court. That's where I kind of grew up playing, and then eventually took it inside – to inside basketball to kind of learn, like, the fundamentals, the skills, and all of that.
And so while you was doing that, when did you know that you had the opportunity to play Division I basketball?
Honestly, when I was, like, in middle school, like, maybe 6th, 7th grade, I started to get a couple of offers, and that's when I knew, like, okay, man, like, I'm pretty good. But I didn't know I was really, really good until I turned 16. I got invited to try out for Team USA. It was about 150 girls trying out for a 12-person roster, and I ended up making that team. And that's when I honestly knew, like, okay, I could play ball a little bit.
And that's awesome. Did you have a mentor or somebody there? Because a lot of times, a lot of people through this journey in sports, like, they have, you know, if it's not for their parents, did you have, like, a mentor that hooked all this stuff up for you, or were you just seen somewhere?
It was kind of a mixture of both. Like, all the coaches that I've had over the span of my career, and my mentors, it was kind of like, you know, the exposure, right place, right timing. AAU basketball was a little different back then than it is now, and that's kind of what gave me the exposure to give me the platform to try out for Team USA.
So was you the kind of person that had to, like, really, really work on your game by yourself? Because I talk to a lot of kids out there, and I just don't think they understand that the work that they have to do. So, like, a lot of kids want to work when their parents tell them, hey, go outside and work on this, work on your homework or whatever like that. But, like, how hard did you work on the game to get to where you are?
Oh, I was in the gym every single day. I mean, I'm still in the gym every day now. But it's just a level of commitment and dedication. I think growth, me personally, I don't think growth comes from it obviously comes from, like, being in the gym every day, getting up reps, having a coach or a trainer to help you. But for me personally, growth came from me looking myself in the mirror, looking at my weaknesses and being like, okay, hey, this is something that I'm not good at. And if I want to be able to play at the next level, these are the things that I'm going to have to be able to do.
Right, right, right. And that's huge. And a lot of times, especially in basketball, athletes don't see the work that's put in behind the scenes. And I always tell athletes, you know, especially basketball players, when you're looking at developing as a basketball player, there's three sides of it that you have to put the time in. So there's actually the skill development on your own. There's actually the physical side, so they're getting bigger, faster, stronger. But the third one, which they very rarely do now, is they got to get outside and just play free basketball. So you can learn how to be creative and learn how to improvise in different situations, play up against competition that's a little bit harder than you or what have you. And my question for you is, did you get a chance growing up to do a lot of that free play where you learned how to improvise, learned how to be creative, and, you know, and did it expand your game any if you had a chance to do that?
Yeah, when I was in high school, we did a lot of pickup. Mm-hmm. We did a lot of open runs. And that's honestly what kind of helped me become the player I am today, because I think the older you get, I think getting reps is okay, but I think you get better by just playing.
Right.
That's the only way you'll get better. I mean, you can play up and face up against a cone, but a cone is not necessarily what you're going to be playing up against as you get older in your career.
Yeah, it's a lot of cone players. Everybody make these little videos of their kids going in between cones and doing this like that, but a cone can't block a shot.
Right, right. And it's good. It's good. It's good to get your reps in. Like, and like when you do basketball training, like implement the cones for, like, warming up and just getting your reps in. You know, but from there, it's all about reading and reacting.
Yeah.
And you got to be able to do all of that good stuff. So shifting gears just a little bit. So, Lene, what's your thoughts on the current state of women's basketball? How do you feel about it?
I think right now we're at an all-time high, honestly. The marketing exposure, I mean, everybody is tuned in into, you know, women's basketball, and you have all the TV viewerships and NIL deals. You know, that wasn't a thing just a few years ago when I was playing ball. So I think right now is a pivotal time for just women in general.
It is. It is. It's definitely empowering to see, like, all these different stars out here making money. And I do think it took what people did in the past for us to get to where we are right now. Right. What would you say, like, because, you know, you've been playing in the WNBA for a while, for a little bit. So what would you say is the difference between the style of play now and back in the day? You know how, like, in the man's game, you know, you had a Jordan era, you got a LeBron era. Would you say something is different now than it was back in the day?
I think the difference now is just exposure. The game has always had a great mixture of amazing, talented women across the board. It just wasn't much visibility. And now it's a time where eyes are all on us. So we have the opportunity to showcase our talent as women, not honestly with just basketball, but, you know, top coaches. You got Don Staley, you got referees, you got, you know, commentating, all that stuff is at an all-time high. So I think right now we're just at, I wouldn't even say the peak, but we're at the start of something something great.
Oh, it's great.
It is.
Yeah. How was your experience? Because you went to Ohio State, go Buckeyes, and Kentucky. Like, how was your experience at both of those schools? Because, like, I try to tell kids, like, it's not just about the education. And people don't understand when I say that. It's about the connections. Like, the connections and the people you meet. Like, how was your experience?
My experience was great. You know, I started at the University of Kentucky for 2 years and then transferred. And so just being able to play for a coach and a program that generally wants to see the players be successful at the next level. I still have an amazing relationship with some of my coaches from Kentucky, but then also the full staff from Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And it's just a blessing to know that not only did I play for a great coach, but I ended up leaving with 2 degrees. So I got my bachelor's in communication. I got my master's in sports coaching.
That's what's
up. I'm happy that now I'm able to use my degree to the fullest.
For sure. And why did you transfer?
I transferred because you know, it wasn't necessarily about playing time. It was more so about me wanting to play for a program that's going to give me the right exposure to get to the next level. And honestly, to keep it a buck with you, mm-hmm. you know, I had all the accolades. I did everything right. And mm-hmm. it still wasn't enough for me to get drafted, right? Mm-hmm. Which could be a reason for a lot of different things. But that's when it comes down to, you know, how much do you love this game? How much work are you willing to put in to get to that next level?
True. And tell us about that USA basketball experience in 3-on-3. Like, 3-on-3 is a different game than 5-on-5 full court.
Yeah.
How was all that?
Yeah. So with 3x3, honestly, I started in 2011. So I was on the very first inaugural 3x3 team for the under-18 World Championships. And to see where it's at now, to see just in 2020, it was an Olympic sport. I mean, it's amazing. I love the game. It's my type of style. That's how I grew up playing ball. So for me, I honestly, like, I just enjoyed it.
So what's the biggest difference between three-on-three versus playing full court 5-on-5?
The biggest thing is just the pace. You know, with 3x3, the game is much shorter. It's 10 minutes. You only have one sub, no coach. For 5-on-5, you can kind of hide your weaknesses, mm-hmm. right, with 5-on-5. With 3x3, you have to be able to shoot, defend, score, pass, be effective, be a good teammate. Like, all of those things, and that's honestly what really matters.
Half court sets too.
Yeah, half court. Yeah.
Half court sets, and then I maybe can play 3-on-3, maybe to 5.
To 5. Yeah.
I'm talking about right now.
No, I doubt it. and you say the game is only 10 minutes, Lene?
Yeah, so the game is literally only 10 minutes. It's half court, and it's the first to 21. So whoever has the most points at the end, or whoever gets to 21 first, will be crowned the title.
Oh, that's huge. That's huge. So, and do y'all have y'all team already set for this next Olympics? Or are you going to be playing in this upcoming Olympics?
No. So I have to try out for the team.
Okay.
So they'll kind of just look at, you know, who they want. And so for me right now, I'm just honestly grateful for the opportunity. You know, not too many people can get to that type of a platform. So for me, I'm just going to give it everything I got. Give it 100% and just let God handle the rest.
Right.
Have you ever thought, just sat back and thought, like how many places that you've been in your life because of a basketball?
Oh, yeah. If I would have known about cameras back then, it would have been cool to be able to get footage and capture all of those moments that I've had, you know, traveling since I was 16. So being able to travel for over 10 years is amazing. Like, I'm already on my second passport.
That's huge.
So you said your second passport? You there?
Hello, hello, hello?
I think we lost it for a minute.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yep. Yeah, I'm already on my second passport, so it's just crazy. Yeah.
That's cool. So, Lene, let me ask you a question. What do you think, what else can be done to grow the women's game? I was watching an interview a while ago that Gilbert Arenas gave, and he was speaking more to the fact that the WNBA has made it a requirement for women to do at least 3 years of college before they can enter. And Gilbert made the point that the WNBA game is slower because of that. And so some of these younger girls, like the Juju's and the Caitlin's and the Pages, they would come in and have an immediate impact. Right now, it would speed up the game. It would be a little bit more entertaining and people would tune in to watch. So I was wondering what your thoughts were on that perspective.
Honestly, I think, for me personally, I feel like I kind of like that way. One, I say that because I think education is very important, right? And basketball, or no sports in general, is guaranteed. So you want to be able to say at the end of everything, at least you have a degree. Or if you do go out 3 years and not 4 years, you're very close to finishing your degree if you want to go back. But I think that in those 3 years, I think you need to develop. You know, it's a different ball game when you play pro.
Right.
You know, and having those years of experience, understanding what it's like to be a college athlete, time management, balancing all that out, NIL deals, you know. So for me, I think it helps us to our advantage, because it's plenty of stories of athletes who came out early, you know, got the biggest deals, but then now, you know, didn't understand the importance of financial literacy. So now they have no money, or they got injured, you know, and so now they can't play any sports. But because they left early, now they have no money, they have no education, and now they can't even use their ability to play a sport. And so now it's like, okay, what do you do now? Because most athletes, you know, the most, I guess, highest percentage struggle is transitioning from playing sports to life after sports.
Right. I agree with you. But at the same time, too, I think in all sports, they should have a path for an athlete to not go to college. The reason I say that is because in a lot of sports, especially the major sports, colleges make money off the players.
Right.
So if they had an avenue, just an avenue, I don't know, a G League or something for places. I think in football, basketball.
A farm system.
Yeah, they should have a farm system because they have it in everything else.
They have it in baseball, they have it in golf,
they have it in hockey, they have it.
I don't know about a farm system in golf. There's no farm system.
Yeah, you can go straight. You can go straight from high school to playing golf. You don't got to wait a year.
Yeah, if you're that good, and that's an anomaly.
All right, but you can do it.
Right.
But so don't cap. To me, don't cap anyone. Like, if they want to do it, they should be able to make money for themselves before people make money off of them. That's the one thing I don't like.
That's hard, and that always goes back to that apprentice analogy that I always give. You know, you got to be an apprentice before you can be a master at something. And as an apprentice, that person you're working for, you're going to be making them money.
Yeah, but you still get paid yourself, though, too.
I'm not sure about that. In some apprenticeships, you don't. Internships, you don't.
Some.
So it's hard. But we got to pay some bills. Lene, could you hold for us for the next segment?
Yep.
All right, so this segment has been brought to you by Premier Physical Therapy. Your wellness journey begins at Premier Physical Therapy and Rehabilitation, the gold standard in orthopedic and sports rehab for adults and adolescents alike. Dial 904-996-6922 or visit PremierPTJax.com today for the Premier experience. You're listening to The Amateur's Edge on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
I'm Taylor Rose with our Remedy Staffing Westside office off of Normandy Boulevard. We are helping great people find great jobs. Remedy has helped some of the best employers in Jacksonville find talented job seekers like you for over 25 years. Our current job openings range from entry-level distribution center pickers to equipment operators. Apply today at remedygoodjobs.com. Don't wait. Apply at remedygoodjobs.com now.
Looking for the perfect Saturday plans? Head over to Players Grill, where Saturdays are all about pizza and pints. Dive into a delicious pizza paired with your choice of Miller Lite or Yingling draft beer for just $12.99. Pizza, pints, and a great time. Players Grill, where the neighborhood meets.
Unlock your true potential with the power of sports hypnosis, a power embraced by elite athletes worldwide. Experience the same techniques for peak performance that have propelled top professionals in the NFL, the NBA, MLB, and the PGA to new heights. So whether you're an aspiring athlete or a seasoned pro, HypnoFit tailors to all ages. Visit HypnoFit.me today for more information to receive a free copy of AB's book, The Power of Sports Hypnosis. Step into greatness. Your journey to peak performance begins at HypnoFit.me.
Is switching your wireless service to Total by Verizon easy?
Totalmente.
And you get unlimited 5G data? $25 a line for 4 lines on the unlimited plan? At an amazing price? With no contracts. Should you switch to Total by Verizon? Definitely.
Totalmente.
Find a store or switch suavemente at totalbyverizon.com. Monthly rate when you activate without a pay, plus taxes and fees. Discount begins the month after you enroll. Additional terms apply. See website for data management practices.
From the very beginning, 1010XL has encouraged and recognized the accomplishments of local scholar athletes.
Wednesdays on The Franchi Show.
Brought to you by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists.
And the Plumbers and Pipefitters Local Union 234.
Step into the world of B3 Better Sports, where every athlete is an emerging champion. Tailor-made training programs based on science, crafted for your sport, your position, your ambition. Train smarter, not harder. Just 2 to 3 times a week is all it takes to unlock your true potential. Join the legacy of top athletes from Jax, transforming from aspiring to inspiring, on and off the field. B3 Better isn't just about sports. It's a launchpad for life successes. We're more than a program. We're a community. Rise above, excel, become the athlete you're destined to be with B3 Better Sports Performance.
1010XL is presented by Farrah & Farrah, exclusive injury law firm of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Protecting you and your family. Call 396-5555. Jacksonville, this is The Amateur's Edge. Brought to you by B3 Better on 1010XL.
And we're back. Welcome to The Amateur's Edge. This is your host, Jerrion Sanders and Randy Wade. And we have Lene Harper on the line. Lene, the first part of that question that I asked that I wanted to circle back around on is, what do you think, what else can be done to grow the women's game of basketball?
Yes, honestly, I think the biggest thing is constantly just pouring into marketing, storytelling. With women's basketball, people want to know the reason why. They want to know the stories behind the athletes. So I think if we can tap more in storytelling behind the scenes of what it's like to be a women's basketball player or just women's sports in general, I think that's going to take the game to a new level.
Right. And what do you think of, like, if there were more players like a Caitlin Clark? What's your thoughts on her? Because I'm not going to lie, she's must-see TV. Whenever Iowa's on, I'm turning on that tube to watch her play. And I know that there's players out there that are just as good or probably better. Why? Do we need more like her, or what's your thoughts on her stardom?
I think Caitlin Clark is an amazing athlete. She's been changing the landscape of the game, you know, marketing-wise, her face is everywhere. You know, it's great seeing her play, seeing her lead women's college basketball to a new level. But also there are tons of other amazing athletes that are playing at the highest level in college right now. Doing some amazing work, you know. So You know, you got the kid from Iowa State, you know, she just had 40.
Audie Crooks.
You know, 40 and 12, yeah. So
Audie Crooks, yeah.
There's so many different players. I mean, you got the freshmen from Notre Dame. You got the post from South Carolina. You know, so it's so many different players. You got Angel Reese. So I just think that Cameron Brink, all of those great players are amazing. They are providing a great platform for women's basketball, and I just can't wait to see the game continue to grow.
You know, you said a lot of great things. You know, one thing I did not like is doggone LSU last night. They played, that game was so sloppy and trash looking. It's like all of them went to the club. You know what I'm saying? It's like all of them went to the club. Like, I know the coach. I forgot the coach's name, but
Kim Mark.
Kim Morgan. Man, she was hot, man. She was hot, man, because like they really I forgot the seed that they played. It was a 3-seed, so I guess they played a 14 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
they played Rice University, 14 seed, 70-60, yeah.
Yeah, but the game, if you just saw the game, it was they made like 25 turnovers or something like that. And right. It was just a sloppy game, people falling off the floor. It's like I said, it reminded me of like seeing AU players stay up all night and drink Coke and swim in the pool before a basketball game. Like, it was really, really sloppy, man.
Right.
It was a sloppy
game. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see the game. I did see the box score.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough, you know, but that's March Madness for you. It's like, this is your last shot. And if you're at the top of that chain,
mm-hmm.
everyone else on the bear, you know, they're giving it 120%. So I think for LSU, you know, just allow it to be a learning experience because it may not be that easy for the next game.
It ain't. It's not. Man, what you think about South Carolina? So if I gave you a choice, would you take South Carolina and you had to put some money on it, would you pick South Carolina or the field?
You said South Carolina or who?
Or the field. Anybody else. Any other team that's in the tournament.
Oh, the field. Honestly, it's tough. So I haven't really seen all of the teams play.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I'm a Buckeye. So I got South Carolina and the Ohio State Buckeyes in the in the finals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. But South Carolina is really good, and that's because they've been led by an amazing coach, someone who's played at the highest level. So I think South Carolina has what it takes to get to a championship, but you never know what might happen. I mean, if you look at the men's side, it's been a lot of upsets,
mm-hmm.
a lot of brackets that's been messed up. So I think it's just a time to just watch the game, see how it goes, and just enjoy the excitement in the moment.
It's been the – so for the tournament, the women's tournament, it's never been a team under the 3-seed to win. Underneath the three seed.
In the history of women's basketball.
In history. And also, 11 on down, they never won either. 11, 12, all those seeds, they never won. So I think that as the game grows, you'll see some of these smaller schools get better players to where that can happen, just like the men.
Well, that's the discussion we just had, though. If in the women's game, they have to stay 3 years. So they have to stay there and develop and build some kind of cohesiveness versus the men, they can be one and out of there, right? Mm-hmm. So the women, I think the reason why they do have these dynasties is because they are there together and they build a team together versus the men that you just don't have that option. They come in and they play and they go into the NBA, those higher tier teams anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So now if they open up the floodgates and tell the women, okay, you can leave after year one, then we might see a little bit more parity. But until then, I think it's going to be challenging to find out.
But again, it's no reason to leave. So, like, it's one of the females on South Carolina, she's staying for another year. It's no reason to leave because you're going to – right as of right now, if you're a high-vis player, you make more money in college than you would in the WNBA. So it's no reason to leave to me personally.
So, Lene, I was watching a debate on First Take the other day with Stephen A., Molly, and another commentator. And they were debating if Caitlin Clark wills Iowa to a national championship, will she be the female GOAT of women's basketball? And what are your thoughts on that?
I think Caitlin Clark is the absolute best player in NCAA women's college basketball right now, but I do not think Iowa has the bandwidth to win a championship.
Mm-mm. I don't think so either.
Right. But I mean, she took her team to the championship game last year.
Yeah, but you got to think about it. It was a different team. And all these other teams, they're coming with some power, right? If Caitlin Clark doesn't perform, they're just not going
to
win.
So that's speaking more to my point. If she does will them to a championship, mm-hmm. being that she doesn't have the support that everybody else does, can you look at her as the GOAT? Because, I mean, you look at all the UConn.
She's already the best player in the league right now.
Yeah, she's the best
player. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's not going to be a question of whether is she the GOAT. And it's like, you can't really compare, you know, UConn from 5-10 years ago to now. The game is so different.
It is.
You know, the talent level was much more competitive back then, right? Mm-hmm. It just wasn't the visibility. So, I mean, she's already the best player in the, you know, in college basketball right now. So if she, you know, gives her team to a championship, that'll just be, you know, she's the best player in this era to win a championship.
And they play Holy Cross today. Watch they got a shooter too. So it's going to be a good game today.
Right,
today.
Right. So when you say it was more competitive back then, what exactly do you mean when you say that?
When I say competitive, right, I mean you had so many players that came out. I mean, I can go, you got Maya Moore, Simone Augustus, Lindsey Whalen, Sylvia Stiles, Sue Bird. I mean, it's so many great players. Brittany Griner, Odyssey Sims. It's so many players down the line that was just so great, right? Most teams now have maybe two top players on their team or maybe one top player. Now, if you have a team like the South Carolina, you know, or LSU, they have, you know, 3 to 5 players that can really, you know, carry a team. But most teams only have maybe 1 to 2. Back then, you know, I went to a school, we had 8 All-Americans when I was at Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I played alongside some top athletes. So it's just a different game right now.
Right, right.
Man, 8 All-Americans?
Yeah, we had 8 All-Americans, yeah.
That's right. I think the person I'm looking for in the tournament is Juju, man. I like her a lot. You know, she's young. I think she has the opportunity to pass Caitlin Clark as far as scoring title. This is just her first year. But what are some players that you're excited to see this weekend?
Yeah, I'm excited to see Juju play. I'm excited to see J.C. Sheldon play. Excited to see Inessa Morrow play. You know, a lot of great players. I'm honestly just excited to see the game in general. So, can't wait to watch the game, see how it goes and everything.
Yeah, and like I say, I'm just wondering how is this mix going to happen with a lot of these players going into the NBA, making this NIL money and the fans following them. I wonder if the fans going to actually follow them to the WNBA to watch the games.
Oh, I think they will. I think this time is different now with the NIL deals in hopes that, you know, current professionals in the WNBA can receive those type of opportunities as well. So it's just a matter of seeing how the games go, and I'm excited to see how everything will play out. But right now we're at a very pivotal moment for women's sports, women's basketball.
For sure. Yeah. So I was looking at your Wikipedia. And matter of fact, we got like close to the same birthday. You born January 31st. I was born January 30th. Kind of cool. But I was
nice.
Cool. Aquarius. So, so you was playing for the Chicago Sky, Minnesota Lynx, and then you took a break, and you played again last year at 2023. Like, why was the break?
Honestly, you know, COVID hit in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was home for a little bit. They had their team from the bubble. And so I just stayed home, and I just kind of worked out and was trying to stay in shape.
Okay.
Gotcha. And shifting gears just a little bit. So we see you have a nonprofit organization, that Harper Kid Nonprofit. What inspired you to start this nonprofit? And tell us a little bit about the things you guys do in the community.
Yeah, so when I was playing for the Chicago Sky, I wanted to find a way to stay connected to my community, and I wanted to do a back-to-school drive. And they were like, well, you need to have a nonprofit. And I'm like, what's a nonprofit? So fast forward, I started that Harper Kid, and the meaning behind the name is like, you could be that kid too. So it went from back-to-school events to COVID hit. I spent a lot of time with the kids, and now I do a lot of programming and working with girls ages 6 to 18. And so now we've been, you know, I work with a lot of students about programming at camps. I just had a camp. We had 60 girls show up. So it's been going well. I love my community. I love giving back. And
you're kind of fading away a little, Lene. Hello?
Huh?
I said you were fading a little bit. We couldn't hear you that last little bit.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yep, yep, we can hear you now.
Yeah, just wanted to give back to my community as the game has given to me.
Okay.
All right, what's one of the biggest things that you tell, you know, a young female trying to be in your shoes one day?
Honestly, I tell them about the importance of relationship building. It's just so important. You never know who's watching. You never know if you need a recommendation. And so for me, it's all about, you know, being a person of excellence.
That's big.
That's awesome.
That's big. So what are some of your post-career goals? What's next for Lene Harper as you transition through life?
Yeah, so right now I'm, you know, still playing. I want to be able to play as much as I can, but also, too, I have my own sports consulting firm. So it's called Harper's Haven, and I work with I want to be able to work with high schools, colleges, pro teams, to help them with programming, help them kind of build their organizations from behind the scenes. And so that's kind of what I want to be able to do. It just provides some extra expertise, you know, being able to go do public speaking. I want to be able to travel. You don't really see too many women that's doing a lot of public speaking. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more so a lot of guys. You know, you got Eric Thomas. You have the other guy. I can't think of his name right now, but I want to be able to travel the world to just speak, you know, to different organizations across the world to share my story, try to be a blessing to others. And I had the opportunity to get into some sports broadcasting. It was great. I did the on-air in-studio analysis for the state finals for girls basketball. And so that's something I want to see if I can get into as well. So that's where I'm at right now.
Okay.
Okay, so it's Women's History Month. And that's special that we celebrate, you know, women's history. What are some people that inspired you, females?
So my mom inspired me. My grandmother inspired me. Honestly, just women in general, you know, just being able to watch women's basketball right now, just seeing younger kids, providing the opportunity for all. That's honestly what's inspiring me right now.
That's big. What message would you give, and I know we kind of touched on this a little bit, but to any aspiring athlete, you know, just like you said, at the end of the day, that ball is going to get flat and it's not going to bounce anymore. So what message would you give to an aspiring young athlete?
Just enjoy life, be in the moment. Again, relationship building. You know, create those relationships with your coaches. Do a lot of networking, because when the ball stops bouncing, you got to be able to figure out what you want to do.
Cool. Well, hey, we appreciate you coming on, Lene. It was great talking to you, and much, much success in your continued endeavors.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Good day.
Yeah, man, that was cool, man. Yeah. That was cool, man. I know that's definitely inspiring for people trying to complete their dreams.
No, for sure. And again, a lot of times in women's sports, there's a lot. It almost seems like there's this stopping point where there's nothing after that sport, or once you finish playing, there's nothing you can aspire to do with that particular sport. So all these different avenues with starting nonprofits, you know, with the 3-on-3 opportunities, you know, her consulting firm, there's always other opportunities outside of just the game. And that's just not for women in general, but for all athletes. She touched on it. It's always a hard transition for athletes once they have to put that stop tying up the shoes, right? When it's over, it's over. So for being able to understand what direction you're going in, being able to understand that there is a bigger purpose outside of playing sports is important for you to connect with along that journey.
For sure. And I'm just waiting and hoping as the years go by that they start paying these women more, you know, and the WNBA can be a little bit more self-sufficient to where, like I said, they can start paying these women more and they can make more for their talents.
But we always talk about that, too. That comes down to the entertaining value.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, people are watching it. Sponsors are going to pay, and in turn, the women will make more money.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man.
So,
it was a great show, bro.
Definitely, definitely. Well, thanks for listening, guys. This is the Amateur's Edge on 1010 XL 92.5. See you on the other side.
You blessed.